I feel like while you're in DYS, they should be like, you know, educating you on how worse it can get. Because me, I was in DYS coming in and I was starting to think it was like a youth program. Like, they weren't telling me like, okay, you keep getting locked up.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, like, yeah, it's going to be on your juvenile record, but you're going to have to seal this.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be harder for you when you get out to actually get on the right track. But when you go to county, that's the real punishment, you know. Mm. That's, I'm not saying people should be punished, but, like, you know what I'm saying?
County,
it's like
jail.
County jail, yeah, but they don't tell youths that at all. Yeah. Like, when you're in DYS, they don't say, okay, it's going to be, this is how it's going to be, like.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Scott Larson. Into this episode of We're Still Standing, where we talk to young men and women who've come up through the juvenile justice system and what they've learned, not always from the system, but things by going through what they've gone through and are still standing, and not only standing, but thriving. And so we have Yvonne here today.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, he's went through Ready for Life here in Massachusetts recently and was one of the big hitters there. So we wanted to get him on and just talk about some of what he's learned. But backtracking a little bit, Yvonne, just some of your life story, mm-hmm. how you ended up in the system, what life mm-hmm. was like kind of growing up for you, so people can know a little bit more about you.
Yes, sir. My name is Yvonne Soup. Yeah, obviously. I'm 19 now. I grew up in Worcester, Massachusetts. You know, I wasn't born out here though. I was born in Cameroon. Being young when I moved to America was really like, you know, it made me fresh. I was open to a lot of new things, and you know, I didn't necessarily grow up in the best neighborhood. So I became a product of my environment, you know, and I was just looking up to my surroundings, monkey see, monkey do. So I began to think those things was okay, and I, you know, fell a victim to those things and learned from my mistakes.
So when did you move here from Cameroon? How old were you?
I was 4.
You were 4?
Yeah.
So you landed in this whole new system, came over with your mother.
Yes.
And you said you didn't live in the greatest area, but like, what were some of the things that you noticed right away were different? If you can remember way back to age 4 that mm-hmm. were different here than back in the Cameroon. And
what I noticed, like at age 4 up to age, you know, even 16, kids would really, at back home, kids would be more with their family, you know. Mm. I feel like nowadays kids are more with their friends, you know, looking at what other people are doing, trying to be like the next person.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I noticed was different. That's what I can't lie. Me, myself, I fell a victim to where I was looking at the next person, what they were doing, thinking it was okay to do that. Like, you know, why not? It was easier to just do what somebody else was doing than trying to make my own way. And,
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were seeing that the leaders in the neighborhood you were in were older kids versus parents and uncles and grandparents.
Exactly.
That might have been back in Cameroon.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a big, big difference, isn't it? And so you started to see that, you know, some of the negative things, like when was it gangs or what kind of stuff were you noticing made somebody somebody?
It was everything, you know, even the little things like parties. Mm-hmm. Parties, people would, you know, drink, smoke, and it would just bring like the demonetized person out of them, you know.
Yeah.
And then that was what I was seeing and thinking it was cool, you know, as a young person. So it was like, you know, when you're young, things you see affect you a lot more than when you're older and you already have a stable mindset where, you know, you don't just take in everything and just, you know. So it was like, you know, little things like parties, people on, I see, you know, gangs and, you know, just everything, to be honest. Yeah.
So you got into school. Mm-hmm. Did you like school or like?
Me in school, like, I always had a love hate relationship with school. Mm. When I would get to school, it's like, all right, yeah, and I feel like when I get to school, you know, I was in my family, it was more like when I get to school, I can like wild out more than when I was with my family. I had to, you know, keep everything under maintenance and, you know, when I go to school, it was like a Yeah.
That was a place to let loose. Was your family pretty strict from coming back?
Yeah.
Coming from where you came from, it was much stricter.
Exactly, yeah.
So now you had all this freedom as soon as you went out the door.
Yeah, and it wasn't like I was ever, like, I was never 100%, you know, on the, like growing up strict because I was 4 years old, you know.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was always in between both waters, you know, where it's like super strict life and super do whatever you want to do kind of life, you know. But it was always that at least that I had that super strict life, you know, at least I had 2 foots in waters where it was like, all right, at least I have a stable structure of, you know, like my family have their head on their shoulder and they're not also driving me insane. So I was able to, you know, not go too much in the deep end.
Yeah.
On the other side.
You had a strong family connection, but you were living in a whole nother world. And every kid from 4 years old to 14 to 44 wants to fit in. You know, we don't want to stand out and be different. So you had to learn pretty early on how to live in two very different worlds at the same time and thrive in them.
Yeah. It was tough because, you know, like for example, my older brothers, you know, because I have 3 older brothers and 2 sisters. My older brothers, you know, it was a little bit easier for them because they already had their own mindset. They were already their own person. They already knew right from wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Me, I was like, okay, I'm like slowly seeing it, you know. And it's like, okay, my older brother, you can kind of see how it works too, because like my older brother, none of this stuff fazed him because when we moved to America, he was already grown.
How old was he?
He was already like 19. He was my age right now.
Yeah, so
he was already basically a man.
He'd grown up.
Yeah, so he was already grown before we got here. So it was like nothing can really faze him. You know, he's on his own person. He already seen, you know. But it was like for me, it was like not necessarily that I had a choice, you know. But it was like this is what I thought it was.
You grew up on the streets.
Yeah.
That was
where really
you,
it. Yeah.
Where you became a... You grew up in childhood, became a teenager, mm-hmm. you became an adult.
Exactly, in the streets.
So,
yeah.
So when did you start to get in trouble here? Like, how old were you, and what kind of led into that?
Like, with the, on like in trouble, like more...
With the law.
With the law,
you
I
got
say
arrested. And
14, 15. 15, I kind of like my first... Nah, 14, 15, yeah.
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 And what was leading up to that was...
It was mainly just not being home. Mm. You know, when you're outside all day, the chances of you, you know, doing something wrong and like doing something outside of, you know, because your house is peace, home is peace.
Yeah.
As soon as you step out of home, you never know what you can run into.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like anybody, that goes for anyone. You don't necessarily have to be in the streets. If you're not home, your life is at risk and your freedom's at risk.
Yeah.
But I was never home. I was outside all day. So it was my freedom was at risk all day, every day. So it was like, I was just really being outside too much, really.
Yeah.
Being outside too much to a group of friends, I guess. Already, like, what I thought was already, you know, was cool. And, so it was just, all of that played part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So 14, first time you got arrested?
Yeah, 14, 15.
What was going through your mind then? I mean, that's a pretty big interruption for a 14-year-old. Like, scary, I'm thinking, right? Like, what's happening to me? What are they doing to me?
Yeah. It was scary, but then I feel like, sadly, it starts to get less scarier. And it starts to get less scary, but it starts to get traumatizing, you know? The more and more you keep going in and out, it's just, it gets less scarier, but it's like more traumatizing because you're like, okay, if like this doesn't faze me no more, that's kind of scary, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, so now I'm looking at this, like, you know, so it's like becomes traumatizing, but
Well, and a lot of people are finally starting to think about it as the system being traumatizing, not just
The streets.
So say more about that. Like, what was traumatizing for you?
I feel like, me personally, I feel like it's a big, the system is a big rig. Like, growing up in America, I feel like it was rigged. Because DYS, and transition from DYS to county is just, you know, it was rigged. Like, personally, I feel like while you're in DYS, they should be, like, you know, educating you on how worse it can get, you know. Because me, I was in DYS coming in, and I was starting to think it was, like, a youth program. You know what I'm saying? Started to look like a youth program where I just don't have my phone. Like, they weren't telling me, like, okay, you keep getting locked up.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, like, yeah, it's going to be on your juvenile record, but you're going to have to seal this.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be harder for you when you get out to actually get on the right track on your life, you know, and do the right things, because you're thinking this is easy. Like, okay, I just did this crime. This is my punishment. I'm eating, you know, Leahy. Like, yeah. You're eating good food and you're around other kids still. And it's like, but when you go to county, that's the real punishment, you know. I'm not saying people should be punished, but, like, you know what I'm saying?
County,
like,
jail.
County jail, yeah, but yeah. They don't tell youths that at all. Yeah. Like, when you're in DYS, they don't say, okay, it's going to be, this is how it's going to be. Like, they just make you think it's sweet. Like, you do your time, get out, don't come back. You know?
Sometimes being in the juvenile system, you get better food, more safety.
Yeah, like, sometimes it was even, like, sometimes I get to a point thinking, like, sheesh, like, was this, DYS was not bad. Like, for some people who don't have a phone and they don't have things like that, DYS is perfect. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's actually not bad. And less sometimes stressful. It'll put you in a foster home.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. And it'll make you think, like, okay, so. And as a kid, you're not like, oh, you're not thinking, oh, when I turn 18, 19, everything's going to be different. No, you're not thinking like that. You're thinking at the moment. You know, you're not thinking of the future. Because if you were thinking of the future, you would never got locked up in the first place.
Yeah.
So you're thinking at the moment. So.
Right. And then all of a sudden, you're 18 and you get locked up.
Yeah.
And now you're in a county jail with 40-year-olds. And it's,
it's, and then now you're going home. You got a felon on your record. You can't get a good job. You probably still trying to get your license. Because if you don't have your license, you can't get a good job in the first place.
Yeah.
So you don't got a license now. You're trying to get your felon dismissed or your record clear. Okay, or you get this decent job and it's just not paying you enough and you don't like it, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And now you start to look at your life like this, this, and that. And it actually forces you to do things like, you know, it's just the system is rigged, really.
Yeah, they say, you know, the pipeline to prison, the school to prison pipeline, that it's a sort of set path that is a natural course that, once you get into it, and you get into it from the street early on and the neighborhood that you're in, and then the juvenile system is just part of the next thing, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a county jail, then adult prison. So now you've been able to interrupt that. I mean, you were ready for life, came in a little skeptical sitting in the back, but then moved up to the front. And, you know, now even since then, I know some of the amazing stuff you're doing. But what was ready for life like for you?
I thought honestly, it was a great idea, you know, especially even seeing the kids that were coming to get ready for life were actually kids that were still incarcerated.
Yeah.
And it was showing me that, like, that's the right way. Like, that's what the system needs, you know. People, like, getting the youth ready for life, you know, because they're not ready for life, you know, clearly. They're still making those mistakes, and DYS is not teaching them that. And, you know, some people are just, like, too stuck up in their ways. And ready for life shows that, like, when all the kids come together, like, we all have problems, you know, and it's like, we all just got to make, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was, me personally, I could say ready for life helped me, and, like, you know, it showed me that I'm not going through it alone. You know what I'm saying? There's kids going through the same thing. So it really puts less pressure on you, you know?
We began to think about writing our present from the future rather than our future reminds us of the past, and the past becomes the present, and the present becomes the future. And so as you began to think about, well, what's a vision for my life worth fighting for? What were some of the things that started to emerge for you of what you really wanted, you know, versus just kind of on a conveyor belt that was moving you from from home to school, to not going to school, to the system, and you're not really thinking about the future, but like what kind of things started to emerge for you that you really want for your life?
I started noticing like the mountains that I was climbing just started getting bigger and bigger, and the only way I could have like, you know, decrease the size of the mountain is to reverse my actions, you know, and do better. So I was noticing like, all right, yeah, DYS was sweet. Okay, now it's county. So now that made me be like, okay, yeah, this is not the way I want to live my life. This is dirty. I'm sharing boxes. I'm sharing a room. I'm sharing a toilet. That's not how I want to live my life. Yeah. DYS didn't show me that. But, you know, things like that, like as I got older, I just noticed every little thing was not worth it.
Yeah.
Then there was other things like, you know, like I'm saying, yeah, I'm happy for Straight Ahead Ministries. You know, I don't know if you guys are the ones who brought Tori, but things like that, like having, you know, people who's been through our situations come to DYS and then talk to kids, you know, because kids are already ignorant. They don't like to hear other people because it's already like, oh, yeah, yeah. They think everyone's preaching the same thing. They think everybody's like robots. You know, so when somebody's in your shoes, somebody's been in your shoes, comes and speaks to you, it's like, all right, this is either you listen to it or you don't. You know, it's either you wait for it when it's too late or you take it now. And for me, it was like, I really just didn't want to keep going. It was traumatizing. Just keep going in and out. You don't know. Like when you're home, you don't know. You feel like you have a timer. Like your timer's just going to reset. You just going to go right back where you was.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you don't want your timer to keep resetting, you got to do the right thing. You got to square your actions.
Well, and one of the things we talk about in Ready for Life, commitment, you know, is kamatir. It means to send forth. We send into the future commitments and promises, and then those commitments make us because it's sort of like, is the pain of change less than the pain of staying the same? And you know, we start to see that, and you're describing it, the pain of staying the same was not working. So there's a pain in going towards something else as well, but as that always erupts the past, sometimes there's a need to release some of the past or forgive people in the past so they don't keep running me.
I feel like like what you were saying, you're saying to move on, you had to forgive. Or I don't think it was anybody that I had to forgive specifically. I feel like you just had to forgive yourself.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, you forgive yourself really, because the only person who's getting punished for your actions is yourself.
Yeah,
you know, unless you're like hurting somebody else, but like the only person who's really getting punished at the end of the day is you.
Yeah,
you do whatever with this person and that, whatever, at the end of the day you're gonna be, you know.
Yeah,
so at the end of the day, if you want good for yourself, if you really love yourself and you want to do good and you want to go far, and I mean, if you're happy with sitting in a 4x4 box, then that's it, then that's okay. But if you want to do good and you want to live a good life, and you're tired and you're stressed, and you know what it was, there's clearly something wrong with your situation because you're unhappy.
Yeah.
You got to make changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if the changes are uncomfortable making, you have to make sacrifices, because at the end of the day, your situation is not good. So it's rather you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like what you say. Forgiving yourself is the toughest a lot of times, you know, the labels that people have put on you. You're a juvenile delinquent, you're a troublemaker, you're never going to amount to anything, you're just like your father, blah, blah, all that carries us, you know, it's a weight, and it feels more comfortable because it's familiar, and letting that go, some of that identity, that's what forgiveness means, to let go, to send it from. And you know, when you go through all these years on the street, you get a reputation for being something and someone, and to let that go, like, who am I going to be in place of that, you know? Mm-hmm. You mentioned Toriano, who is working with you and, you know, has been up through that system, so you see somebody that is going that way. What have been some of the challenges, you know, of letting go of some of that, your reputation on the street, because you're still living in the same area. You know, man. I mean, the same people still know you.
Yeah, yeah,
still
that's
saying
true.
The same things to you. The cops still know you. The,
yeah, yeah.
Your friends might not be there as much, but your enemies are still there.
Yeah.
And so what's that been like to go on a whole different course for your life?
Mm.
What's been the challenges of it?
It's mainly been like what you were saying, yeah, like, you know, where people already know you as. You know, is this new character going to fit you? Or are you going to like the way, you know? That's how has it been like for me? Honestly, it's been great. It really has. But I can't lie, at first it was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
At first it is difficult, you know, completely changing, not who you are, but just changing your situation. And it's tough to change your situation.
Yeah.
You got to... You know, change your circle. You gotta, honestly, you gotta wake up with a different mindset. You gotta wake up like, don't wanna do this anymore. This is done. That's done. Just like, because it's all a habit at the end of the day. It's all something that you keep doing and doing and doing. So in your head, you're thinking it's okay. So just like drugs or whatever you're in a habit of doing, you just gotta put it in your mind that you can't do it no more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the big thing is, what are you going to replace it with, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole system is focused on saying no to this, that, and the other thing, but it keeps us focused on the things that we say we don't want. And whatever we're focused on is what we're going to have. It's like driving a car looking backwards. You
mm-hmm.
know, if I'm focused on the things I'm trying to get away from, I'm not going to get too far away. But what have you been focusing on now, you know, in terms of what you're doing in your life that has replaced some of that? Like, what are you doing now?
Exactly. Like what we talked about at Shithead Ministry, like focus and stuff. That's why I paid deep attention to that. Because I noticed what really helped me was my focus.
Mm.
What I'm putting my focus into now, my attention, my time. I noticed that, like, me engaging my time in different things now helped a lot. A lot. Because when I indulge my time and attention in this now, my daily routine starts to become this and less of that. So yeah, I noticed that definitely helped a lot. Paying my attention to better things, like, you know, indulging more into straight ahead of ministries, or even just getting a job, doing things the legal way, or indulging myself in, like, you know, everything, like little things, man. Even like, I ain't gonna lie, I got one on the way now, so it's like things like that too. Like indulging yourself in, like, being a better person, even things that you might not think is, like, okay, it might not suit you, just test it out. Music always been one thing that didn't, you know, put me too much in the deep end. Music kept me a little way. I know I couldn't be in jail and be the best rapper, you know. I know I can't be doing this. And so things like that, you gotta find your hobby, things you like to do. Because, you know, nobody likes to eat sloppy joes. So think about things you like to do that are going to keep you out of trouble.
Yeah.
So
what are you doing? I know you drive from Worcester all the way to Fitchburg. You go to work. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Even little things like that help.
What kind of work are you doing over there?
I do, like, mechanic. But, like, right now, we just, you know, fixing things around, keeping the office straight.
At a auto...
Yeah.
Repair place.
Yeah, getting a little dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, it's all right. It's nice.
And you're rapping?
Yeah, I make music.
So maybe we can add on to this
one of the
tunes you're doing.
Yeah.
One of the songs that you wrote.
Uh-huh.
That would be good.
Yeah. Maybe put it on the outro. Put it as the outro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you having a chance to meet with other people and help some other people along the way.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed, you know, like things like this too. It helped me notice, like, Straight Ahead Ministries helped me notice. I like to talk about my situation with other kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like seeing that, like, it actually motivates some kids. Even seeing other people's situation motivate me, it's a good feeling. You know, that's another thing. That's another thing right there.
Well, you are standing, but you're moving. You're going in an amazing direction. You're going to be a father. So
yeah.
I'm assuming you may want to be different than whatever your father was for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your rest of your family, older brothers, three sisters, your mother, what do they think about what you're doing?
The whole kid situation? Or
well, about how you're doing with your life. You're living now. Are they proud of you?
Yeah, they're proud of me. My mom, yeah, she's happy. Yeah. Yeah, there's not much they can say. I'm doing a lot better than before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely home more often. And they, like I said before, when you're home more often, this peace is less likely, you know, to like fall victim to, you know, the law or whatever. So it's like when you're home more, my mom's not worried because she knows that
right.
There's a less chance of me being in trouble. Yeah.
And the police starting to take notice that you're about something different?
Nah, I don't think they noticed. I think I need some more time.
That takes a little more time.
Yeah, they're still probably on my back waiting
they're
for me
still
to
watching,
up.
Waiting for you to go back to what
they're
expecting.
Yeah.
But that'll change.
Yeah.
Especially as you're out there doing good and taking classes in Google and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What would you love to be doing with your life 5 years, 10 years, you know, as you're a father and your life is coming together with who you really are? What would you love to see?
I would love to see, like, just a happy home. That's what I want. I want a happy home. I want my kid to be, and I want my kid, I want my kid's mother to be good. I want my mother to be good. Just a happy home, family happy. That's it. Peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And working and being provider for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Someone they can look up to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll give a report down the road because this has been a fast journey for you. I first met you when you were locked up. That's
LA, not, right?
Yeah, not that long ago. Months ago.
No, years ago. You don't remember LA?
Yeah, but
when you was working with,
But the last time, when was the last time, like when you got out, how long ago?
Last time I got out. Oh, you're talking about Whistle Secure?
Yeah.
Oh, that was like, it was a year ago at least.
It's been a year?
Yeah. Whistle Secure, since I've been at Whistle
Secure.
Yeah,
that's when I saw you.
At least a year, yeah.
So you've been out for a year.
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah.
You were on a track that, you know where it was headed, man.
Mm-hmm.
And you were ready. And when you're ready, the world changes around you.
It responds differently, for sure.
You sign up for Ready for Life.
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself in situations,
mm-hmm.
and you notice situations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we say in Ready for Life, we see what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And when you start to look for something different, the world looks different. So I want to just commend you for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And we want to hear one of your songs on the end of this thing.
Yeah, for sure.
For people to see a bit more of who you are and the talent that you are.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for coming out with us.
Thank you.
This podcast was produced by Straight Ahead Ministries on a mission to reach every youth in every facility with the hope of Jesus Christ. This podcast was hosted by Scott Larson, recorded by Scott Larson and Barbara Picard, and produced by James Davis. Please take the time to subscribe, follow, and comment on We're Still Standing. When you do, you help raise awareness for youth in our juvenile justice system. To learn more about this work and join the movement to reach every youth, visit www.everyyouth.org.